All right. Good morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. It's time to talk about another week where, honestly, things just seem to be kind of accelerating as they've now fallen off the cliff. I got to admit, folks, this is Mark calling, sunny Southern Colorado. Actually, it's not sunny today. It's kind of overcast. We're supposed to get some more weather. But in any case, got David Justice on the line. And just a few minutes before we went live here on the show, I talked to David, and didn't sound like he was particularly enamored with the way things are going either. So let me say good morning, David. I'll ask how you're doing, and then we'll talk about what else is happening. So how are you doing?
Well, I'm in a process of grieving because there are times when I really don't know what's going on. I don't know. I can't trust the mainstream media. Of course, I don't even tune in. Every once in a while, though, I'm in an area where it'll be on, and it's just an amazing thing to watch. But, you know, the whole thing with Hamas and Israel and even, you know, after the elections, it's just hard to know whether we're being the elections are being tampered with or what. So sometimes I'm having one of those weeks, and I have my up and down weeks. And so anyway, it's been more of a down week as far as knowing, you know, thinking I know what's going on when I really don't.
Okay. Well, I think the sad thing is, David, you really do know what's going on, and that's the problem. And the more you know about what's really going on, the more disgusted you end up becoming. You know, for example, with respect to the elections, it was pretty obvious once again this week that even though this was a minor election, and even though, yeah, it's a couple of governor slots that, and a state house in Virginia, and some constitutional issues that were all of them basically exactly what you would expect the rigging to accomplish, and they did. So it's not that we don't know the elections are rigged. It's just that simply you can't prove it. And even though you can prove it by use of things like statistics and a little common sense and is it really as bad as people think? No, when it comes to the elections, it's worse because more people have figured it out and more people are cowed and they're just plain scared to say something because they know that they will be punished. And that's the sad truth. It is, I think it's probably obvious at this point that the 2020 election was the most dishonest in American history, and that's saying quite a bit. And yet, more people are scared to talk about it. And that, too, is, a sign of the times. But it really suggests that what we ought to be understanding is anybody that really thinks that there's going to be an honest election in 2024 and that there's any possibility of an honest election in 2024 is just plain stinking delusional. Now, does that mean that it is impossible for Trump to win or for, well, anybody else to win? The answer is no, because there's nobody else that's going to be able to put together a 90% supermajority, which is about what it would take to overcome the degree of rigging, because literally a 60-40 win, no way. They can easily slam that many ballots in, flip that many ballots, lie about it, and everybody knows it. And that's what's really disgusting. I think if there's anything that probably should upset people, it's that everybody knows it, and most of them are too stinking scared, gutless to talk about it. So we'll do it here. Go ahead, David.
Well, I didn't watch it, but several people sent me a video of a highlight of the Republican debate this week when one of the candidates went off and distinguished that why don't we talk about reality basically and called out the panel of interviewers and It was a highlight of the week. Anyway, what do you know about that?
I don't know. It's probably sounds like Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't know for sure. I know that Nikki Newcomb Haley was in rare form and essentially saying, you know, here's the thing, I guess. Why does anybody really care about what a bunch of also-rans that couldn't even beat Joe Biden's body double because they're not going to be allowed to get any votes anyway has to say? The point is, either the nominee is Trump or the whole thing is rigged. We know the whole thing is rigged. So what are they going to do? They're going to take Trump. They're going to deep six him. They're going to destroy him. I wish I could say it's not clear anywhere you look that the system isn't absolutely being destroyed. The justice system is not just a joke. It's not just a kangaroo court that we're seeing happening in New York and down south and in all these other places where they're essentially saying, hey, you know, the Soviets, they got nothing on what we can accomplish today. George Orwell, he was a piker. We got better technology. So the court system, the election system, what's being done is people are literally being programmed to wake up at this point and realize all the institutions have been co-opted. So you might as well just come and admit it. You don't have a First Amendment right to talk about it, but at least behind closed doors, you can say, hey, I know what's going on, and I had better figure out some way, in other words, to be on the right team.
It is an amazing thing to watch them prop up their insurrection. The gentleman out in New Jersey, the manhunt going on for a guy who was at January 6th, and they brought the FBI out and SWAT teams, and they're doing a manhunt, painting this guy out to be the equivalent of a murderer, telling the people to stay inside, and, you know, they're really pushing the narrative because they have to. They are attempting to persuade the American people still that January 6th was an insurrection against the American people when it was in fact just the opposite. We are witnessing a full-blown communist coup or fascist coup. I don't know which one you want to call it. It's a hybrid totalitarian coup. And they have to maintain control of the narrative. So everything we're seeing is right in line with that. So the question comes down to whether they will be successful or not, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's toss out one or two stories. I want to move away from the rigged election. Because again, I think that's such an obvious done deal that unless people wake up and say, hey, you know, we've got to get rid of the damn voting machines. And I use the word damned voting machines because they are damning the country to the hell on earth that they have got prepared for folks. The thing that was funny was in Pennsylvania, there were a bunch of election votes that were flipped on TV in real time. The scumbag in charge of the election actually came out and pointed out, well, we don't like this when we see elections rigged and votes flipped in real time, but nothing to see here, move along. And then the people that did it came out and admitted that, in fact, yeah, this was programming, and somebody programmed the machines to flip those election votes, but don't worry, you know, we got it taken care of. The point is, what they're doing is coming out and saying, the very fact that you have election voting machines that can be rigged, which is any of them that are electronic, any that are connected to the web, they're not supposed to be, they are, any that can be programmed to take fractional votes. In other words, if the election software includes floating point mathematics in it, it's absolutely positively rigged. This stuff is showing up on TV, and people now nod their heads and go, oh yeah, well, we know it was rigged, but we're going to go vote next time like good little slaves. Who cares? Who cares what you vote? Meanwhile, the big story was, let's analyze what the electorate has said. Who cares what the electorate said? You don't know what they said. You're not going to report it. But abortion rights take center stage at the ballot box was a headline I saw over and over again. Oh yeah, that's what we really care about. People are coming across the border, invading, destroying the country. The economy is in tatters. The energy economy is being destroyed. Things are blowing up left and right. Terrorists are literally planning to do a lot more of it. And it's all about whether or not we can kill more kids. That's what voters are concerned about. Give me a break. No, that's what people who write the software are concerned, that voters get told they're concerned about. Any other comment on that, David? Let's talk about the other elements that essentially make a similar point.
Well, and it's just like the other night at the GOP debate. They're not talking about things that are really relevant and germane. They're
because
talking
they're
about the issues that can be, well, they're innocuous at this point, while they've taken over the country and even the world. So keep going, Mark. I don't know what more to add to that.
Well, here's the one. I just saw this story this morning, and I think this, if people had any doubts, this should give them a bit of a clue as to what's going on. This is from Leo Holman, and it says, while everyone was focused on the faked election results, the non sequitur, non-important GOP debate, bunch of also-rans, 70 House rhinos, and that's the only proper term, joined 203 Democrats to say, hey, we don't have enough Gestapo. We want the police state, besides which we're scared of the FBI. We know who really is buttering our bread. They have voted for a third of $1 billion to refinish a lavish new headquarters for the District of Criminal Suburbs of Maryland to host the Federal Bureau of Investigation, larger than the Pentagon. And the Republicans, the rhinos, said, yeah, we like it. Yeah, why not? Let's just why don't we bring the old German Gestapo over here while we're at it, build them a great big headquarters. I can't believe it. I mean, David, it's over the top. It's so over the top that it's like a farce of a farce.
Well, of course, you know, these rhinos are having to go along to get along. They want to maintain their power and their position in the new regime. So they're going to buy into the very thing that is going to destroy America. And that's giving the FBI more power when the FBI has been shown not to work for America anymore. So it is it's a crazy thing, but it's not crazy in the context that no, we're fully living under the communist regime now, the globalist regime. And this is, of course, exactly the conduct you'd expect from people that want a position of power in that regime.
And what they're doing at the same time that they're saying, hey, you know, what's another third of a billion here, a billion there, a trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking more fake money. The subtext here has to do with the fact that we all know that they know that they can just print it without limit, and that ultimately it's too late because the system has collapsed. It's just a question of how big the noise is going to be and how many people it's going to take down when it happens. And they're basically saying, well, we can't stop it, so we're just going to keep doing what we've been doing, because when it all hits the fan, maybe we'll get a spot in that wonderful new multi-billion-dollar FBI building.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Okay, let me change gears. There was a story that came out earlier in the week that didn't get much press. I talked about it on Monday and got introduced to it from a friend. Some folks know Dr. Jeff Preistupa. He's been on several shows with me over the last few years. I've known Jeff for decades at this point. But anyway, he asked me if I had seen this thing that happened in Glenwood Springs, and it turns out it was over a week ago. It was local coverage, pretty much only. The Denver paper covered it a bit. The Channel 9 News, which is the local paper, covered it. Colorado Sun covered it. And essentially it goes like this. I don't think you'd seen it, but I sent you the text of at least one of the stories. The body of a man who was armed with the usual leftist, we want to ban these things. So they had a checklist, and they said, okay, got to have an AR-15, check. Got to have some more than 10-round magazines, check. Got to have body armor. We don't want the slaves to have that, check. Got to have a ballistic vest that looks really scary and tactical, check. But he was basically set up as a Manchurian candidate, it certainly seems. The 20-year-old man was wearing black tactical gear. He was discovered by a maintenance crew before the park opened at what's called Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park in the small mountain town here, not too far north of you, of Glenwood Springs. And it was the last part of the season, as they were getting ready to close for fall, so it was a big weekend in rural Colorado. Rural America, sheriff said, hey, it doesn't get more Americana, rural America than this. And for whatever reason, we may never know. That's the mystery here. The Manchurian candidate, the wannabe false flag 15 minutes of fame guy, I guess decided not to go through with his programming. And his body was found in the woman's bathroom. Never going to comment on that in this context. And he wrote, now they don't even tell us. You haven't seen a picture of this. They don't say what form it took, but it was written on the wall, right? Was it spray paint? Was it a lipstick? I don't know. I am not a killer, it said. I am not a killer. And he left his AR-15 on top of the bag and the belt with all of the loaded rounds of ammo in it, and essentially took his own life rather than doing what it was. Whoever, the FBI handler, oh, gee, do we know that? No, you can't prove that. Trust me, if anybody could have proved it, they're probably dead, too. But it's interesting that they said, oh, this could have been a real disaster. Look what could have happened. And but it didn't, because this fellow, rather than doing what he was programmed to do, killed himself. Do we know that? No. And here's the point. We're not going to, because the FBI has come in. They've taken over the case. One of the first things the sheriff department said after about a day or so of so-called investigation was, we're not going to say anything more about this. There will be no more information released. They did say that we have found no warning signs, no criminal history, no motive, no alleged reason for the suspect's actions. But, isn't this amazing? So they basically have just swept the whole thing under the rug. Now, had it come off as planned, you can rest assured we would be hearing about it still. But we wouldn't have heard the part that we're not going to hear now either. Anyway, your comments, David, if you had a chance to look at that.
I have, and, you know, he was wearing fake grenades, and the AR-15s that he was using were what they call ghost guns, which are untraceable and can be made with 3D printers. And
allegedly,
don't know. Again, it's even hard to speculate anymore, because we really, when we read an article like this, we really don't know. I'm running out of things to even talk about when it comes to articles like this and events like this. So no, I don't know what to say.
No, let me comment. I mean, you make an excellent point, and it's a point that I have tried to make in a couple of different ways. For example, can you prove that the election was rigged? No, yes, you can, but you have to be talking to somebody that has half a brain. In other words, if somebody has any understanding of statistics, and if they are have a clue what it means when you have lots of people being photographed and videotaped stuffing ballot boxes with dozens or hundreds of ballots and going to the same places and picking up more and going back. In other words, they're going to say, oh, this is circumstantial evidence. What you don't have is the mastermind. You don't have somebody in the Obama mansion in D.C. coming forward and saying, this is how we did it. Short of that, they're going to say there is no proof, and you're not going to be allowed to put proof into place in a courthouse. As a matter of fact, I saw we talked about it, that Trump was talking about introducing secret evidence that he had prior to the rigging of the election then, and saying, okay, this is what we knew. But you can guarantee they're not going to allow that. So to make your point, ultimately what they're saying is, we don't care if you've got evidence, we're not going to hear it. We don't care if you've seen it, we're not going to allow it to come out. We don't care if you've got all this other stuff that we're not going to allow printed in any of this, the subject fixed up places, Twitter, to Facebook, you name it. We control the narrative. We control the media. Oh, and I guess I might as well bring out this one story that that showed up from, I saw it in a number of places, The Blaze and Glenn Beck, essentially about the FCC. And the FCC has now, thanks to the Biden Fuhrer, they're putting in place, well, they haven't done it yet, but the Biden regime is saying, we want to take complete, utter, total control of every aspect of the Internet. This is the biggest regulatory power grab in the history of communications, and they're getting ready to introduce it. If they get away with it, what they'll basically do is to say, hey, no more of anything that contradicts the official narrative. And well, then, David, you'll have nothing to even see that's speculative. And that's exactly where they're headed. So, again, to make that point, yes, with AI, yes, with deepfakes, yes, with control of the media, it is difficult to prove anything. But on the other hand, here's the thing that we still have. Remember, we're warned in Matthew 24, see that you're not deceived. That is intentionally and explicitly what is being done. So what we have to do is to recognize when we're being lied to. And, yep, it's pretty much true that if their lips are moving, that's part of it. But if they push poll people and then manipulate the polls, and the polls show, Trump has a lead in all these swing states. Well, what does that mean? It means we have to double our efforts to get rid of Trump and furthermore skew the polls some more, so that before the election actually gets rigged, we can have polls that support that it's not as much of a rig as you thought, because the polls already told you what we were fixing to do. In other words, when people see things that do not comport with reality, whether it's buildings that collapse, in a way that is impossible with the laws of physics, planes that have the nose blown off and manage to climb, or just simply something where all the votes after midnight come in a way that is 20 sigma impossible statistically with anything we've seen before in history. Or how about people who just start dying at rates that are 20 sigma out of what we've ever seen before in history? Normal people, people with a brain, will say they're lying to us. Something is horribly wrong. In other words, I don't have to know what the fellow in Glenwood Springs was really going to do. What I do have to know is something stinks. It's not right. And I recognize that the narrative that they're trying to feed us is a lie. So, again, it's not so much that you have to know exactly what happened, but you sure as hell know what didn't happen. Go ahead.
I think it's a silver lining in this, otherwise really just disastrously dark cloud, is they're so exposed now, and where a few of us saw this decades ago, now they're castigating parents, homeschool parents, but parents of children. They go to the public schools for attending meetings and calling out school boards, and they're putting us all into the category of radicals. So the good news is that it's waking people up to the realization that we're living inside of a private system that is in total control. So I guess if we could focus on, find the all things work together for good portion of reality and play on that and use that as a leverage to continue to awaken people. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, you're breaking up pretty badly, David. Hopefully that'll clear up here in a second. But, let me give another example. Yeah, you're still breaking a bit on that one, of what it is that I'm encouraging people to think about. A lot of us have expertise in particular areas, okay? In my case, as an engineer, I have a background in engineering. Certainly we know people that have backgrounds in psychology or in medicine or in farming or in any number of fields. Well, they're able to look at their field just like I can look at mine and say, hey, somebody tells you this, they're lying. Likewise, I mentioned statistics. One of those that I think really ought to raise eyebrows is the situation with pilots and with COVID. Now, this story happened earlier in the week, and it really, I'll tell you what, it really frosted my pumpkin. Came out of the Daily Mail, and they basically, without even using the word vaccine in here, without talking about anything that is even remotely close to the real issue, they had a story that says airlines are now in a post-COVID hiring spree. And what's the problem? Oh, yes, we're concerned about pilot training, because the airlines are hiring so many pilots so fast that here's an issue. Here was a runway incursion. Here was this. Here was that. That say something just isn't right with pilot hiring. That's the problem. No, you blithering idiots. The problem is they poison poked a bunch of pilots. Those that didn't die knew better, quit. And so as a result, you have other pilots that are saying, I don't want to work three shifts. I don't want to do this. And besides which, I'm afraid I'm going to keel over the controls anyway. So they introduce an incredible problem. They kill pilots. The smart ones don't get killed. The smart ones leave. Now they got a problem. So now they're going to hire a lot of pilots, and they're telling you that's the problem. And again, what I encourage folks is to be able to see through the absolute how stupid do they think we are kind of whoppers and say, well, gee, what does that mean? Well, for one thing, folks, I'd say it looks real clear. Don't be stupid. Don't get on a commercial airline, because if the pilot isn't poison poked, well, he's probably not there anymore. And that's, by the way, why there were so many private pilots that were maybe commercial pilots, but they were in private industry that were flying into places like Davos, because those people that know what's going on say, I don't want my pilot of my private Gulfstream 4 to be slumping over the controls on short final. Go ahead. Any comments? Let's see what we got. We got about a minute or so till the break anyway. Whoops. Are you there, David? Did we lose you entirely? I see your picture in Skype, but I don't hear anything. And oops, I guess now we're at the break anyway. So we'll get that fixed up, folks, and be right back. We are back, folks. Second segment of the Drive Time Friday show for today. And during the break, I think I got David Justice back online with a better connection. So hopefully he'll be able to comment. Let me just turn it over to you, David. I'm not sure if you even heard some of the things I was talking about while you were having some difficulties there. But go where you'd like if you had some comments you didn't get to make.
No, I was scrambling to get back. So why don't you pick up where you left off?
Okay, well, where I had left off had to do with the situation with yet one more thing that if people will just look and see and ask questions that aren't being asked, they can figure it out. So in this case, the question is, you read this Daily Mail article about how there's this post-COVID hiring spree at various airlines around the world, and they're also rushing to get pilots back on the line that they're scrimping and putting underqualified pilots in the cockpit. This is a big problem. No, it's not. And the problem was they were taking qualified pilots and poisoning them, mandating that they take the Zyklon B. The good ones said, no, I'm too smart for that. I don't particularly want to kill my passengers, much less destroy my own health or ruin my family. So I'm going to say no. And they left. They left in droves. And those that didn't leave in droves died in a lot of cases, whether it was behind the controls in a cockpit or on their way to the airport or at the hotel or just driving a car somewhere. The whole situation is one of those things where if people will pay attention, they'll say, wow, why? Here's the way I like to do it. Ask questions. Ask questions about the news stories, and I will take a look at a story like this Daily Mail piece, and I'll say, does anywhere in here that they even suggest, even hint, that the problem with a pilot shortage might have been the fact that they got rid of so many blankety-blank and good ones? The best ones quit? Answer, you will not even find the word vaccine. Not a hint anywhere in the story. And that tells you that it's propaganda, and that tells you that they're lying to you, and they're pushing a false narrative. So what can people do about it? Well, part one, you have to be recognizing when you're getting lied to. And you do that by asking questions and asking the questions that should be obvious that aren't being pointed out in the stories. And part two, don't participate in things that may just end up getting you or your family killed. I have not ridden on, or will I, a commercial airliner. Period. Because why risk your life? And furthermore, if you understand that the level of terrorist activity in the country now, have they actually done yet what it is that they are in place to be able to do? Not necessarily. If they do, you're not going to hear it reported. We had that derailment here in Colorado on I-25 a few weeks back. Not a word about that. Looked awfully suspicious, but oh yeah, nothing to see here. Move along. So, if you are in a place like a commercial airliner, for example, where it's possible that it could be terrorism, possible it could be just a poked pilot that dies, or could be just incompetence because of all the other things, don't put yourself in those positions. And furthermore, understand that when these things happen, there are any number of explanations. David's right. You're not going to necessarily know which one is true, but you can sure tell which ones are not. Go ahead.
Well, when the can you hear? Am I hearing an echo?
I'm not. If you are, you could be.
Okay. When we see the breakdown like it is, and we see everyone going along to get along, they're operating inside fear and doubt and insecurity and all of the things that evil relies on to justify its existence. When we live in a world of truth. It's much easier. You don't have to keep track of the lies that are being told. But what we're witnessing is a total breakdown of competence as a result of having to buy into a narrative just to survive. Reporters don't want to go contrary to what their media boss is telling them what they can and can report. So the question comes down again to the love of money. Love of position, love of power, and if you want to have a position inside of a communist regime, you won't report the facts, you'll report what you're told to report, and so as a result, this is the result. We're living in the result of going along to get along and remaining silent. So I don't know what more to add except that we're faced with a choice and a challenge of standing firm to the end, whatever that end is in this context. And if the end is telling the truth, then the truth will prevail. But otherwise, we're going to find ourselves completely collapsing like every other great nation in the history of the world.
Okay,
go ahead, Mark.
I guess it's time for a little bit of bluntness then, because I will contend that the nation has collapsed. I'm using the past tense. It's too late. The economy has collapsed. The dollar is a dead man walking. Stick a fork in it. The judicial system is not just a joke. It's not just an assault on kangaroos to call it kangaroo courts. It's beyond a farce at this point. So the trick is, how do you avoid all of these systems? Because the intent is to kill you. The terrorists are coming in. The system has collapsed. So the sooner people wake up, I guess, and realize, you know, as bitter of a pill is it as it is to swallow, understand that the commercial airline system, they have destroyed it. You'd have to be a fool to get on a commercial airliner, to get in a place where terrorists basically will see you as a soft target, a disarmed, gun-free killing zone. So there are so many things, in other words, that people should be looking around at and saying, come out of and be separate. I realize it's hard, okay? But if you think it's hard now, just wait until they pull the pin and tell these thousands upon thousands of Hamas and ISIS and MS-13 and communist Chinese PLA terrorists, go do your dirty work, because then it gets really ugly. Oh, yeah, and when that'll happen? About the same time as the economy is beyond belief collapsed and people can't hide it anymore. All of this stuff will come at once. It's the way the communist regimes work. It's why they're spending a third of $1 billion on a new FBI building so that they can show you exactly who it is that's controlling things. Go ahead, David.
Well, I'm in 100% agreement with everything you just said. And it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. The number of foreign enemies that have crossed the border and that are now operating in enemy cells. They typically operate in cells of three. They've infiltrated all of the towns and all of the cities in America. And there will be a day when the economy is teetering that they'll receive the word that says go. And if those people that are not expecting it are not, they're just going to die right there. And so that's actually what we're facing. So what we can do about it is be aware of it and be prepared for that time. But and I think that time is between now and the next election coming up next November, Mark.
Well, I have a stronger suspicion, David, that it's probably even sooner than that, because I'm not sure that the economy as it is will last through the next winter, or that certain things won't come apart. Or for that matter, you know, if you get this many terrorist cells in place and this many people start realizing it, ultimately there's going to come a time when people may start fighting back. And at that point, now they have to pull the plug. So it's not necessarily, in other words, that events are going to be dictated by their timeline. To some extent, we're going to see events dictated by a whole different timeline from people that have had it.
Which makes me wonder, the guy that they found up there in Glenwood Springs, was that staged? Was that real? And we don't know. But we look at what happened and we can deduce that the report being reported is a manufactured report that favors the state. It favors power. It doesn't favor the truth. So we have to look at it with a jaundiced eye and realize that they want to create fear in the people because that gives them an edge. And so long as they have the edge, they'll take whatever edge they can. So they need us to be afraid. And so that's what we need to realize that they're doing, and because that's one of their primary tactics, Mark.
Well, I don't disagree with the bottom line there. As far as you know, what can we learn about what happened at Glenwood Springs? I think one of the things that's interesting about that story is the mainstream media did not report it. It literally didn't get out of Colorado for the most part. Not that there weren't some people that saw what was happening and talked about it, but the problem is it didn't fit the narrative. So you're right. They would try to control it, but they can't necessarily always do that. Sometimes the truth does slip out. It tends to slip out at the local level. It tends to slip out in reporters that are saying, hey, this stinks. And, you know, maybe they released the story before they got the word. You better not talk about that anymore or your job is toast. So I think we have a number of ways, and this is kind of, I guess, one of the things that emerges as a theme today, of beginning to see through the lies and recognize, even if, you know, as the old X-Files thing said, the truth is out there. And we have to learn to see through the lies and ask the questions. By the way, this is any good, back when we used to have good cop shows, it would be the intrepid investigator that would ask the questions, right? The dog that did not bark, back to Sherlock Holmes, that will point towards the truth.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've got one more story here I want to throw out, and I think this is another one of the dog that did not bite, bark, rather, stories. It came out this week. I didn't see a lot on the waste stream about it, other than the way that they reported it, which reveals the truth if you know the right questions to ask. The headline that caught my eye originally was on Zero Hedge 2 Facebook, that's the proper pronunciation, of course, censored a leak about the Nashville Tranny Manny, the Tranny Manifesto. This is the woman that was taking all the hormones and probably SSRIs and went nutso and went into what she thought was a gun-free killing zone and started killing kids, killed 3 kids and 3 adults. But oops, turned out it wasn't gun-free quite long enough because there were actually some cops that were doing their job. They came in and shot her, he, it, dead before more people could die. And turns out there was a manifesto because it was, in fact, a transgender nutcase. You're not supposed to believe that or understand that that is, in fact, even a remote possibility, but it is. And what happened? Well, it was supposed to come out months ago, but it got suppressed. Anybody want to guess that the 3 letters might have to do with FBI that didn't want it coming out? But eventually it came out. Louder with Crowder, Steve Crowder, was among those that reported on it. Like I said, it was immediately censored. The Nashville PD and the mayor says, we gotta find out who leaked this. We didn't want you to know this information. Doesn't fit the narrative. And so they're gonna do an investigation. No, not into the killer, because we already know what was going on there. You're not supposed to. We need to know how it was that we couldn't keep a lid on this. Go ahead.
I think the guys are heroes for having risked their jobs and losing their jobs, or at least being suspended for putting that out there. I think that that's the kind of thing that needs to happen across the country, is people willing to take a stand and produce evidence like that to, you know, as a wake-up call. So bravo to these cops that released that manifesto, so we can see just how unhinged the transvestite movement actually is, Mark.
Okay. Well, it's, again, you're right, and there's that little extra bit more to it, because the problem is, when we see these shooters, one thing you'll never hear, and I talk about this all the time for that very reason, is that they virtually always happen in gun-free killing zones. The term is well known to people that pay attention. It's called soft target, because that's what people are who are literally lined up as a gun fodder for the next political movement. They go into a mall that says no guns allowed, and guess what? You may not come out of that mall if you aren't packing, because given what's going to happen, we already know what's going to happen. There's going to be a whole lot of people that are set up to die, just like happened in Israel, where they disarmed the people first and then allowed the border to do the American Biden-Fuhrer thing, be opened, and a lot of people died. But, hey, they got their war. I guess that's what really matters, right?
So I guess if we have a voice, we need to use it to say, folks, it's here, the thing that has been being warned about for decades. It's here. America is on this last leg. I don't know what we can say to soften the blow. We don't want to soften the blow. It's time to make your final preparations and get ready for the inevitable complete collapse of a country.
Okay, well, I mean, so we usually end up going somewhere in that vicinity. Let's talk about it just for the last few minutes. It's not like we haven't addressed aspects of this before. let me kind of continue with the theme that we're on. I think most of us recognize, look, you're going to need food, you're going to need water, you're going to need to be armed and available to help out in your community, to defend your home, your loved ones, the things that you're going to need to keep yourself alive, those kind of things. But on the other hand, what more? One of the battles I've been fighting, I guess, on a rhetorical and on a spiritual level for a long time is you got neighbors, you got friends, you got family members that are just plain blind. Are they going to get you killed in the process? We care about them. We don't want anything bad to happen. But ultimately, there comes a point at which you say, look, I can't force you to wake up. You want to drink the Kool-Aid. I can't stop you from drinking the Kool-Aid. But what kinds of things can we do so that people will begin to say, maybe at least I better, if nothing else, get out of the way, right? My dad used to have a kind of a tacky expression, either do your duty there, your number two, or get off the pot. Okay, and that's where we're at, is people are going to have to either, you know what, or get off the pot, because they're in the way and they're causing problems when we have serious things to be dealing with.
Well, you know, praying is always a good place to begin to distinguish the truth of what we're up against.
Certainly necessary.
And, but past that, you know, if you're living in a small town, it's best to keep an eye out for, you know, strangers that are out of place. And probably some reconnaissance and being spatially aware of your environment and just being prepared for the time when we end up in war in our own country.
Yeah, and if you're not living in a small town, I guess the obvious thing is, why aren't you, and what do you need to do so that you can get where you need to be? Because you're not going to survive if you're in a major town, given what is coming.
And it has stuff that is, you know, you can barter with, because when the economic system breaks down, you're going to need to exchange things of value amongst your community to get the things you need that you don't have already.
Yep. Okay, we got about 5 minutes, David. Let's do something we haven't done in a while. I just say, let me turn it over to you and ask you, anything's on your mind? I know you tend to have certain hot button topics that you like to explore. Has there been anything on that front that we haven't talked about but you think we really need to?
Well, you know, the one of the depressing things for me is looking out across the Christian landscape and knowing that, having come from that institutional environment, I know that many, many Christians are waiting for Jesus to come and save them, and there's nothing they can do, so they've put themselves on the sidelines and are basically weak and impotent. And the hot button for me is, you know, we've forgotten who we are as a people. And Yeshua showed us what's possible. And, you know, because we are operating inside a narrative where we think the impossible is not possible anymore, then we're weak and we're victims. And so Americans are especially American Christians, are walking around with a oy vey kind of attitude and feeling that there's nothing we can do. And as a result of that, I think if we look back at the Bolshevik Revolution, those types of, and we look back at in Nazi Germany, we know that the institutional Christians, just like the rhinos in the Republican Party, they go along to get along, not knowing that we, the children of the one, are the reason. Us not being who we are is the reason the world is in the shape that it's in. So really, it's ultimately our own fault. We've created this. So the nonchalant, go to church on Sunday, go in type of Christian doesn't realize how much of a part of the problem that they actually are. And so that's been a little bit of a hot button, knowing that the towns, the small towns throughout Colorado, are riddled with people like this. And in those small towns, the like for example, and for instance, Gunnison, the election was an absolute disaster. The school board had three open seats that went to liberals. The agenda of transgenderism, and again, destroying men and destroying the hope that we as men have to stand as men, and at, particularly as spiritual men in a time when the country is in a severe drought of the word of truth. And I feel like I'm rambling here, but that's my biggest hot button and my biggest frustration and my biggest grief, grieving. But then I always have to fall back on the scripture that says all things do work together for good. So I look for the silver lining in this otherwise disastrously dark cloud and trust that, we will be shown a way. We will be given the way when the time is right for us to have that. Knowledge, if we're to the degree that we're walking in the power of the Ruach and walking in the power of the truth, Mark.
Okay, well, very good. I'm looking and thinking to myself, what haven't we talked about on this score? Certainly one of the things that I talk about on my, in my Sabbath teachings and so forth has to do with the element of paganism. And I think, I guess when I look at the election and think in terms of this week and the comments you were making, that's probably the place to close, because what was the sacrament that we saw? When they don't have a corrupt presidential candidate to push, when they are saying, okay, well, we've got control now of the various state houses across the country, and as, well, oh, I know, let's talk about the sacrament of abortion. And that's what it is. That's what people need to recognize. It is a sacrament of abortion. Why is it that the whore church, as I like to use the terminology, because scripture does, the Sun God Day church that essentially says, oh, we can have a tranny preacher and a tranny priest, and we can have a priest abusing little boys and little girls for years. That's okay, because we never really do care about what the Bible says anyway. Well, what's next? Turns out that just about everything that we are seeing today is a choice of death over life. And if there's anything that summarizes it, if there's anything I encourage people to realize and come out of her, that's it. What about the airlines? Why did we harp on that? Because it's a choice of death over life. We're going to tell you we care about your safety. We don't. What about the Zyklon B? It's a choice of death over life. What about the economic situation? It's a choice of the fake over the true. It's also death over life. So on just about every front, if people will strip away the veneer, they will recognize we live in a society that says choose death. And the answer is no. Read what he says. He says choose life. And that's why he came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So it has never been more important. We make that choice and make it now. Hey, thanks, David. Thanks, folks, and Shabbat Shalom.